The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, music and comedy on the GI Journal starring Bob Hope, Betty Grable, and Mel Blanc. We'll also hear an episode of the radio drama Voice of the Army starring Helen Hayes from 1944. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, an episode of the radio drama Voice of the Army from 1944 starring Helen Hayes. Right now, music and comedy on the GI Journal starring Bob Hope, Betty Grable, and Mel Blanc as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
The GI Journal goes to press. Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, your radio newspaper of the AEF, the paper that prints the jokes and poems sent in by you men overseas. Men on guard. Here's your editor-in-chief for tonight, a man who's as sharp as a bayonet from the tip of his nose to the tip of his snoot. It's Bob Hope.
Hiya, man. Well, how do you like that Mitchell guy trying to point up my nose as though it needs it? Well, it's sure fun being back in the old GI Journal again. As usual, it's your five-star final. And standing by are your five-star reporters. There's lovely Betty Grable reading your letters to the Ed. Ransom Sherman reading your poems. Mel Blanc, the one-man crowd, the sad sack. Arthur Q. Bryan, Harry Mitchell, and of course, our star outside reporter, Professor Colonna, who ought to be calling in with a big story right about now. Hello?
Hello, Hope. I'm flying over enemy territory with a B-17.
Professor, I've got to go home now.
Colonna, what's a girl got to do with a B-17?
Well, it won't be long till she'll be 21.
But inking up the rollers for Sergeant Thomas Winfield at 964 and Private Manny Strauss at 510 or Captain Glenn Miller and his Army Air Force's training command band with the crew chiefs imagining it's love, love, love.
Hold the presses. Some very fine poems just came in from our abuses from the Muses column.
Well, fine, Ransom Sherman. Read them to us, will you?
I will, Bob Hope. The first one is from Whack and Marnia. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, took a jeep.
Lovely. Next poem.
It's from Private Frank Skiba. There was a KP named Perkins who always gorged on gherkins. Despite the medic's advice, he ate so much spice that he pickled his internal workings.
More?
Sergeant Joe Esther Hazy sent this one. Girls, when they went out to swim, once dressed like Mother Hubbard. Now they have a bolder whim. They dress more like her cupboard.
See, anything goes. Address all your poems and rhymes to G.I. Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles. USA, and we'll be only too glad to credit them to you. Hello?
Hello, is this Bob Hope?
In the flesh.
Glad to meet you, Flesh. I know your brother, Bourne.
Cologne, I thought you were overseas with the troops.
I am overseas, Hope. Right now, I'm helping a girl wash out her stocking.
Oh, Professor, don't rub so hard. You're tickling me.
What did you say?
You're tickling me.
Liquid stocking.
Don't use too much fluid drive there. Professor, get down to business, will you? Be more military.
Oh, I've been military all day long, Hope. I've been dodging and ducking, bobbing and weaving, twisting and turning.
Getting ready for the infiltration course?
No, laundry shrunk my shorts. Well, excuse me a minute, Hope. I just got a fig bar from the PX. I think I'll take the paper off it. I need it.
All right, but remember to keep low and don't expose yourself to the enemy. He'll shoot that fig bar right out of your hand.
Not since he can't see this fig bar. I'll just take the paper off it.
Colonel, what happened?
Fig bar is now foo bar.
Say, foo bar, I wish you'd give me a story I could print up on GI Journal.
All right, Hope. I just figured out a way to make carrier pigeons fly 700 miles an hour.
700 miles an hour?
Yeah. You just take a pigeon and tie a firecracker onto a tail feather.
Colonna, you fool. You'll barbecue that poor bird.
Well, we'll see about that. Come over here, Pidge. No. Don't hand me a dog tag. There. Now I'll just light the fuse.
Colonna, I'm telling you, you're going to barbecue that pigeon.
Quiet, crazy cat. Okay. Give me a match. Care for a wing?
Colonel, why don't you go to the supply sergeant and have him issue you a brain?
Oh, I had a brain when I joined the Army, but they took it away from me.
Why?
Said I was out of uniform.
Oh, you're hopeless, Colonel. I thought you were in charge of some engineers.
Well, that's right, Hope. I've got 40,000 men and we're dredging out a river. But it's taking too long.
It's taking too long with 40,000 men? How many pumps have you got?
Pumps? I gave each man a soda straw.
Soda straw? That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. You'll never dredge out a river with soda straws.
No?
No.
Okay, men. Spit it out.
Turning once again to the music section, we find the Army Air Force's Training Command Band with Don't Be That Way. This is especially for Swain at 557 and Hampton and the gang at 937. Contact, Captain. Contact. Thank you. Now, G.I. Journal presents the lovely editor for your overseas mail, gorgeous, glamorous Betty Grable.
Hello, gang, and thanks, Bob, for calling me gorgeous. Coming from you, a fellow that usually doesn't even notice girls, it's a real compliment.
Ain't it the truth?
It certainly ain't, brother.
Now, just a minute, Betty. I was really sincere when I said that.
Listen, Bob, you and a girl sat behind me at the movies the other night, and you were so busy handing her a line, you didn't even look at the picture once.
Well, I was making a double feature out of it. I don't see why I shouldn't neck with a girl in the movies if I want to.
Well, I do. When you came in and sat down, you didn't even know that girl.
Listen, by the time I found my seat in the dark, we were practically old friends.
Five minutes later, she was sitting on your lap.
She was sitting on my lap. Is that a crime?
No, but you didn't have to call the usher and try to get a refund on her seat.
You should see the price I got. Say, that's a good... You know, Betty, this is G.I. Journal, and I'm sure the boys don't want to hear about me. It's you they're interested in.
Said he, changing the subject.
Yes, sir. Here she is, fellas. Betty Grable, the girl whose picture you've pinned up all over the world.
And now I'm a mother.
Yeah, now it's your turn to do some pinning up. But, Betty, how about you getting at this mail?
Okay, Bob. Our first letter's from Private Ralph J. Erickson at APO 981, and it's in verse. Here, you read it.
Okay. Girls whose heads are full of this and that rank second with me to fine figures and data. That'll give the gals back home a slant on what the men overseas expect when they get back. Who's missive number two from, sugar?
Well, it's from a corporal up at Dutch Harbor. Quote, I've been on almost every molehill that's above water in these parts. Everywhere I go, GIs give me the same old story. Why do we have to sit around here and waste time? There's no fighting going on, and there never will be. Well, I think they're wrong. I think we're up here for two reasons. In a war, you don't drop your guard. Some of the gangs seem to forget Pearl Harbor. Taking all the troops out of the Aleutians would leave us wide open. Reason number two is that this area is part of a supply route that's long and hard. Brother, this is important land. End of quote.
That sounds logical, Corporal. If any of you men listening in have any ideas on your outfits, let us have it and we'll quote you. Address GI Journal, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Come in.
I can't take any more. I tell you, I can't take it.
What's this?
I've had enough. I can't take any more. I'm full up to here. Full.
Who are you, anyway?
Oh, just a big old field pack.
And now for hundreds of pin-up requests, including Blimp, PT, Minesweeper, Float, Beast, Fearless, Catalina, and the gang at Navy 116, here's the original pin-up girl herself with a song. Betty, what'll it be?
Well, how about Song of the Island?
Great, Bet. Put on your grass skirt. I'm swaying already.
The trade winds know
of the boys at 696 like our takeoffs and radio programs. So have you got another one up your sleeve tonight?
I sure have, Betty. Just imagine you turned your radio on and this is what comes out. This is the Cerise Network.
Now, folks, here is the court of horrible relations conducted by the man who sticks his nose in everybody's business, Mr. John J. Hopeless. Each week, people come in to Mr. Hopeless feeling miserable. Here he is, ready to solve your problems, Mr. John J. Hopeless.
Thank you very much, and I mean very much. Do I make myself clear? Thank you very much. Now, what is the first case, Mr. Announcer?
The case of Mr. and Mrs. C.Q.
Just a minute. Are these people miserable?
Yes.
Very miserable?
Wretched.
Good. Leave the miserable wretches in. Now, what is your problem, madam?
I'm telling you, what happened to me shouldn't happen to a dog.
Oh, close, you big twat.
Now, watch that. Watch that, please. And step up to the microphone a little closer, please. A little closer. Oh, whoops, too close. Step back a little, please. Back a little.
Oh, make up your mind.
That's what I say.
Now, now, you know, I've been listening to thousands of you characters, and I'm about due to slug somebody. Now, what is your problem?
It's about my husband.
Yeah, I'm a wet. Will you please step a little closer to the microphone?
Okay.
Ooh. Be careful of that mic, Missy. You know, they don't grow on bushes.
Neither do heads.
Don't argue. You can get another head without a priority. Now, what is your problem, Mrs. CQ?
Well, my husband is a playboy.
Oh! A playboy, for goodness sake. What does he play with?
He runs around with other women.
Shocking. Is this true, Mr. CQ? Stop nodding your head and step back. Now, Mrs. CQ, just what is wrong?
Well, last Tuesday night, I'm sleeping. You know what I mean?
Sure, I sleep.
And I wake up. You know what I mean?
Certainly.
And I start reaching around for Homer. You know what I mean?
Well, I've never made a grab for Homer, but...
Well, anyhow, Homer ain't there. I tell you, Mr. Hopeless, it was humiliating.
Just a moment. Let me state this more clearly. You say that on last Tuesday, between the hours of 1 and 2 a.m., that your husband, hereinafter referred to as Mr. CQ, did willingly, knowingly, and willfully sneak out of bed, remove his nightshirt...
He sleeps raw.
Please, don't interrupt. Mr. CQ did willingly, knowingly, and willfully, without just cause or reason, take leave of the little domicile you have labored so diligently to maintain. Is that right?
Huh?
Did he take it on the lam?
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. This guy's a dope, Homer.
Please, no names. Mr. CQ, you're a cad and a cur to desert your little wife.
He ain't been home for days, Mr. Hopeless.
Oh!
And I get so lonesome.
Oh, you do? Well.
Night after night, all by myself.
Well, I see.
What is your advice, Mr. Hopeless?
Well, my advice to you, Mr. CQ, is to go home and wait. And wait and wait.
But my husband won't come home. I know he won't.
Don't worry about him, honey. I'll be over the groceries right after the post. Soon to be running in close competition, Lock Rabel and the rest is Peggy the Pinup. Here's Sergeant Ray McKinley and the crew chiefs to tell you why.
Picture took, it got in live and it got in look. Soon the cameras began to click. That, my friend, really did the trick. Then her fortune began to climb. She appeared in the march of time. All the boys in the army camp, I wanted a picture on postage stamp.
She is the sweetheart of plenty of soldiers, plenty of sailors, thousands of Marines. She's the girl they've been up in the barracks. She's the girl they've been up on the wall.
In a plane or on a train, she's a friend, she's a pal. She was there when they landed down in Guadalcanal.
She's the chick they all pick in the service, and they take her all over the world.
Think of fine in a queen, in a dime magazine.
She's Peggy the Peanutter.
Peggy pinned up from the toes up, makes a fella turn his nose up when he sees Lamar Hargrave on the street. Even a voice that's so disturbing, like Judy Garland or Miss Durbin, can't compare to my pin-up queen.
They can't compare to my pin-up queen.
So Ginger Rogers started howling, and Miss Powell threw the towel in. Peggy's dancing caused the heat wave up and low. She had Betty Hutton's vigor, Lana Turner's classy figure, and the cast is out, made Lassie come home on the double.
And the cast is out, made Lassie come home.
Is the pick of the crew, and she's just too susceptible of every way it's gonna do.
They were there in the air over Berlin, and the voice sounded clear as a bird.
I let the bombardier come on board, let's drop one here.
For Peggy, the peanut girl.
The G.I. Journal flips the page, and we come face to face with...
Pardon me, are you Bob... Are you Bob... Are you the man with the funny... aren't you on the radio? Well, I'm glad to meet you.
Who sent you over, Crosby?
Oh, no, you remember me. I'm a captain, major, private sad sack.
Well, I'm very glad to meet your nose, too. I suppose you have another episode of your life.
Well, if you insist, what do you mean, suppose? Weren't you at rehearsal?
In a little country town just outside of, a baby is born. After 2 or 3 days go by, the father brings a bundle of joy into his mother and says,
I know that mazy dotes and dozy dotes, but what do you feed a pig?
The sad sack shoots up like a young sprout, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet. One day his father says to him,
you're growing up, my boy. Look at that. You're 5 feet tall now.
5 feet, I'm getting to be a big, I'm almost as tall as it's too bad 4 feet, 6 inches of it. It's my head.
One day, the sad sack is standing in front of the fruit market whistling. He moves suddenly, and the fruit dealer yells at him,
hey, come back here! Did you just steal my bananas?
Steal your Why, don't be silly. I wouldn't do such a I guess I should have peeled them first.
In school, the sad sack is shy and bashful. One day, the teacher sends him on an errand that should have taken 5 minutes. An hour and a half later, he comes back, and she says,
Jack, you've been gone over an hour. What happened?
Oh, I stopped in at the library. I've been reading a... somebody locked me in the canteen.
Oh, yeah. The sad sack meets the girl and takes her out driving one night.
I think the cylinders are in the out of gas.
Oh, Jack, your arms around me. I'm so cold.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll put my arms around you, but gee, what I'm worried about. I wonder if it's a spark plug.
Oh, never mind your motor sack. I want to kiss you. No.
Don't kiss me. I mean, not that kind of a Well, there goes my main gasket.
Then came the war. Fat Sack is inducted and goes to camp. The sergeant speaks one day.
All right, you guys, police up the area. Bend over, men. All I want to see is elbows and hip pockets.
If I bend over in these tight fatigues, I'll
All right, you. Bend over there. Jack, are you picking up anything?
Oh, yes, I picked up a lot of cigarette. I just picked up a cold.
It's time now to hear again from Captain Glenn Miller and his band, and we just can't let Glenn get away without playing his sensational hit of a few years back, Little Brown Jug. City Ed speaking.
Hello, Ed. Hello again. I'm with a tank destroyer outfit. I'm baiting a mousetrap to catch a tank.
A mousetrap? Colonel, you can't catch a tank with a mousetrap.
Watch. Here comes a tank now. I'll show you. Got another piece of cheese?
See Crosby's sponsor. Well, men.
Hold them presses again. Hold them presses. A definition just poured in from Sergeant Frank Undo.
Definition of what?
G.I. short.
Okay, definition of G.I. short.
G.I. short. Changeable seat cover.
Well, that's close to the end, man, and I'll be back with you soon. In the meantime, remember what old Shellback says. When you're on watch, Mac, don't forget that a good lookout reports everything he sees. This is Bob Hope saying so long.
Man, don't forget now, if you want to write for such stars as Bob, Bing, Kay Kaiser, Jack Carson, Professor Colonna, Rochester, Betty Grable, and Linda Darnell, all you have to do is send in any little gag that you think will fit them, and believe me, we'll use it. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Listening to the Golden Age of Radio and the G.I. Journal, starring Bob Hope, Betty Grable, and Mel Blanc. First broadcast on April 29th, 1944. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, an episode of the radio drama Voice of the Army from 1944, entitled Names on the List, starring Helen Hayes. Right now, here's Ella Fitzgerald singing Somebody Nobody Loves from 1941, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Somebody nobody loves. Oh me, oh my, my, my. I'm somebody nobody loves. I wonder why, why. Although I know it sounds alarming, I prayed on bended knee for that certain gay prince charming who was meant for me. I've got to find me a somebody soon, or else I'll die. I'd take the man in the moon if he would give me a try. I'm just a lonely Cinderella that romance passes by. I'm somebody nobody loves. Oh me, oh my. If you feel the fates are against you, cause the best things in life pass you by, look at me, look at me. I've sent lots of letters to Cupid, but he's a hard to get guy. Look at me, oh, look at me. I'm somebody nobody loves. Oh, me, oh, my, my, my. I'm somebody nobody loves. I wonder why. Although I know it sounds alarming, I pray on bended knee for that certain gay Prince Charming who was meant for me. I've got to find me a somebody soon, or else I'll die. I'd take the man in the moon if he would give me a try. I'm just a lonely Cinderella that romance passes by. Oh, me, oh my, I'm somebody nobody loves.
Every day, as the war against Japan increases in intensity, the need for waste fats and greases grows more critical. Here's one department where the enemy may be superior unless you help make up the difference from your kitchens. Save all waste fats and greases, no matter how discolored. Keep a clean can in which to strain them and take them regularly to your butcher. Remember, for every pound, he'll give you 4 cents plus 2 extra meat points.
The Voice of the Army. Today, the Voice of the Army presents the distinguished American actress, Miss Helen Hayes, in a story of the U.S. Army Nurse Corps. It's with considerable pride that we present Miss Hayes as Lieutenant Margaret English in Names on the List.
Hello, soldier. Let's see, Private Alan Wicks.
Hello, Alan.
I suppose I gotta talk, or you'll be saying, cat got your tongue? That's what the other one always said. Cat got your tongue?
No. No, you don't have to talk if you don't want to.
That's good. You the new nurse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Want a light?
I can manage.
That's an interesting-looking pipe.
Yeah.
Get it over there?
Yeah.
Collect pipes?
Look, it's a pipe. I smoke pipes. I've always smoked pipes. It's interesting looking, and I got it over there. It was my best friend's. He was killed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan.
Sure. You're sorry. I'm sorry. He's sorry. I lost an arm. Maybe we're sorry about that, too. Let's let it go at that.
We're going to be able to do something for you.
Here it comes. Lesson number one. Point out to the patient advances made in modern prosthetics. Tell him one of those grappling hook arms is just as good as the real thing. Better even. All right, maybe it is. Only let's not talk about it. See?
Well, nurse, how's it going?
With the boy? Mm-hmm. Not too well, Colonel.
I told you it wouldn't be...
Exactly easy. No, it isn't.
And, how's it going with you?
I'm all right. It's kind of hard at mail time. Dick used to write so regularly. I'd always know there'd be a letter from him.
Of course.
I got several letters, even after the news that he was missing. That was the hardest of all. Then they stopped coming, too.
I know.
But I'm so sure he's safe. It couldn't happen to us. I read the poem, and I know it couldn't happen to us.
You read the poem?
Oh, yes. How Do I Love Thee?
Hmm?
Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Oh, Oh, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Mm-hmm.
You see, that's how we happened to meet, Dick and I. I guess I never told you about that.
No.
It's really just one of those sentimental stories that sounds silly to everybody except the people it happened to. For them, it's important.
Tell me about it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was way back when I was a student nurse in New York. That seems 100 years ago now. That day I was looking over the 10-cent counter of a little second-hand bookstore down in Greenwich Village. You know the kind. And then I heard someone asking for Mrs. Browning's sonnets.
It was a little blue book. It was here last week. Sonnets from the Portuguese.
I looked around. It was a young man. A very nice-looking young man, I thought. With curly brown hair and a nose that turned up just a little at the end. And a lovely smile.
It was right on this shelf.
Sonnets from the Portuguese. Yes, there it is. The young lady has it.
Oh.
Did you wish to buy it, miss?
Well, I...
Oh, that's all right, please. I wouldn't think...
But it's quite all right. If you'd like it, why...
No, I wouldn't dream of...
But really,
No, I assure you, I...
Well, if either of you wants it, it's 10 cents.
Look, I have a wonderful idea. Let's buy it together. We'll each put up 5 cents, and we'll each own a 50% interest. 50-50. What do you say?
We each put up our 5 cents, Colonel, just as crazily as that. And Dick decided we'd have to go to lunch together to discuss the details of our partnership. And then, well, 3 months later, we were married. And I always teased Dick by saying the only reason we were was to put an end to the eternal problem of the custody of Mrs. Browning.
That's wonderful.
So I like this little book. Especially now.
That's the same little book?
The same. Faded blue cover. Faded a little more. I always like to have it with me. Well, guess I'd better go on up to our problem child.
Not going to try poetry on him now.
I might. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
You don't have to talk. I'm just going to sit here for a while and read, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. What are you reading?
A book.
What book?
I don't think you'd like it.
How do you know I wouldn't like it?
Poetry.
What makes you think I wouldn't like a book of poetry?
I don't know. I just didn't think so.
Why not you... No.
What? Go ahead.
Well... Why don't you read out loud? Would you mind?
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely, as men strive for right. I love thee purely, as men turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs, and my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smile, tears of all my life, and if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. Well?
Well?
It just kind of does something to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does something to you, all right. It turns your stomach, all that phony sentimentality.
Alan, I thought you wanted me to read it.
Sure. I went for that sort of thing once, but I forgot. Anyway, who do you think you're kidding? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Sure, I love thee with one arm.
I'm sorry it doesn't mean anything to you, because it means a great deal to me.
Well, why don't you do something? Why don't you slam the book down and stalk out and report me to the colonel? Why don't you?
I don't want to. Alan, why do you keep fighting inside yourself? Why don't you let us try?
Why don't you leave me alone? Private Wicks.
Yes, Colonel.
There's something I must speak to you about.
Oh. I suppose she told you I was rude to her yesterday.
No. No, Lieutenant English didn't say anything. She wouldn't.
Huh?
It so happens that Lieutenant English, whose husband has been missing for 6 weeks, got word late last night that he had been killed in action. If you can't feel any consideration for her, I hope at least you can be civil. That's all I wanted to say. Of course, you won't mention this to her. You understand you don't know about it.
No, sir. I don't know a thing about it.
Hello, Alan.
Oh, I wondered if you'd come in.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm a pretty tough patient.
No. Can I puff your pillows up a bit?
No, don't bother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant I didn't want you to bother.
No bother here.
Thanks.
Hmm?
Thanks. Would you hand me my pipe?
Here you are. Oh, it's a different one.
I'm still so clumsy, spilling matches on the floor. Would you?
Of course.
That's good. I like a pipe. I got a whole collection back home.
Have you a meerschaum?
You know about pipes?
My husband was very fond of pipes, too.
Yeah, I've got a meerschaum. Nurse?
Yes, Alan?
Would you read to me?
Read to you?
Yes.
I'm nothing to read here.
Oh. You don't want to.
I'm nothing to read.
You've got a book in your pocket.
That...
Sonnets from the Portuguese.
I'll go get something else.
No, read from that.
Well...
Read How Do I Love Thee.
I'll get something else.
Please read it to me.
No, I...
Please. Please.
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. When feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need. To the level of every day's most quiet need. By sun and candle.
I love thee freely, as men strive for right. I love thee purely, as men turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs, and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose... And if God choose...
And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
Two names on a list. Two men, two soldiers. A Major English, a Private Wicks, unknown to each other. And yet, as you heard, their stories were not wholly unrelated. You've just listened to Names on the List. And now we'd like you to listen to our star, Miss Helen Hayes, who has a personal message for you about the Army Nurse Corps.
No American mother can be unmindful of the debt of gratitude we all owe to the women of the Army Nurse Corps. Now, as the good news continues to roll in ever-increasing proportions, We must not forget the bad news that inevitably must accompany it, our casualties. As for these wounded men, the war will still be with them for a long, long time to come. This is a need only registered nurses can fill, but there are other ways of helping. Senior cadet nurses may take their final 6 months training in Army hospitals, and graduates of Red Cross training courses may serve as nurses' aides in both civilian and military hospitals. The need for Army nurses is urgent today. The men of our Army and their wives and mothers ask you to think this over most carefully. You're needed now. Won't you help?
If you will accept an appointment as a lieutenant in the Army Nurse Corps, write the Surgeon General, U.S. Army, Washington 25, D.C., or apply at any Red Cross procurement office. This closes another program in the series, The Voice of the Army. Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 7 years of bigger and bigger enrollments, America's grade schools will need nearly a quarter of a million extra teachers besides those to fill normal vacancies. This great need, plus the growing public interest in education and improvements in schools, make elementary school teaching a more rewarding career than ever, a career that high school and college students should certainly consider. Education holds America's future.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, in an episode of the radio drama Voice of the Army from 1944 entitled Names on the List, starring Helen Hayes. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.